Today's shir is Masechta Bava Metzia Daf Ayin Zayin, and we will begin on Daf Ayin Zayin Amud Aleph at the third line. Vama Rava, Hayman da Ogir Agure Ladavla. If somebody hired workers to draw water and irrigate his field, our Gemara continues in discussing the halachas of what are the obligations of the employer and what are the obligations of the employee. So somebody hired workers to draw water and irrigate the field, Vasamitra, and now it rained and there's no reason to irrigate the field because the rain watered the field. Says the Rava, Pseida de Pialim. This is the loss of the workers. The workers have to absorb the loss. And Tosfos gives two explanations why it's the workers that take the loss. One explanation that Tosfos gives, continuing what we learned in the previous year, is that our Gemara is referring to a situation where the workers had gone to inspect the field the night before, and they recognized that if it will rain, there will be no need for their work. And there we learned that if that's the case, then the owner is not held responsible for what ultimately happens to the field. That's one pshat. Another pshat is that since it's every worker who accepts upon himself such a job is aware that it may rain, and if it will rain, his work will not be necessary. Therefore, he recognized that it may rain, and when it rains, he won't be responsible. However, Osnahara, if the river swelled, and therefore the irrigation canals became full, and therefore their work was no longer necessary, there it's Pseida de Balabais, it's the loss that the owner takes, V'yavle Kapoil Bottle, but as we learned in the previous year, the workers get a salary at not their full salary. We take into consideration a discount that a worker would be willing to accept, that he should get paid and not have to work. The Rashba asked the obvious question, why does the Gemara not treat both situations the same? Why is there a difference if it's rain that the workers take the loss versus if the river swelled, the workers don't take the loss? Answers the Rashba. There are many explanations in the Mefarshim for this, how to explain this Gemara. This is the way the Rashba explains the Gemara. He says there's a difference between a river swelling and rain. He says when it rains, there's absolutely no need for the worker to come to work. And since there's absolutely no need for him to work, that's why he doesn't come to work and he doesn't get paid. On the other hand, says the Rashba, in a case where the river swells, it doesn't mean that the worker won't have to work. He'll only have an easier job, but he will still have to work, and therefore the halacha is that the worker gets paid, but it's paid kapoil bottle. Vamarava, continues the Gemara, Hayman da Ogur Agur Ladavla, somebody hired a worker to draw water and irrigate the field, Upasak Nara Bapalga de Yoima. And the water, there was so much water being used from this river that it dried up, and there wasn't enough water already in the middle of the day to continue the irrigation work. Eli over the Pasuk, if it doesn't normally happen, say that the Bialim, the workers take the loss over the Pasuk, but if this happens, if it normally happens, so now, Ibnei Ma'asa, if the workers live in this city, and because they live in this city, they should be aware that this is likely to happen, then the halach is, say to the Baalim, the workers take the loss, lav b'nei masa, but if they don't live in the city, so therefore they had no way of knowing that this would happen, and therefore it's pseida the balabayas, it's the owner's loss for what happened here. That's the Ritva and the Rosh summarize what our Gemara teaches us, and they say the following. They say, whenever there was an oinus, whenever something happened which was beyond the control of the worker, beyond our control, the way to look at the halacha is as follows. They say, if it was something that only the owner could have been aware of and not the workers, then the owner takes responsibility. But if it's something that the workers could have known as well as the employer, or even if they couldn't have known as well as the employer, but they could have, but they both could have known equally the same, so there the loss is borne by the workers. And the Mefarshim, the Shvos Yaakov, the Trumas Hadeshin, explained the reason, because this falls into the category of Hamaitzi Mechaveroi Olav Haraya, that the halacha is always that when we have a question, if the money is owed or not, is it the onus to be borne by employer or by the employee, we say Hamaitzi Mechaveroi Olav Haraya, and the employee cannot force the employer to pay him. However, the Aruch HaShulchan does make a point. He says, normally, when we apply the concept of Hamaitzi Mechaveroi Olav Haraya, says the Aruch HaShulchan, let's say the person who claims that I owe him money seizes the money, then Hamaitzi Mechaveroi Olav Haraya will allow him to keep the money. However, says the Aruch HaShulchan, here that won't be the case. And if the worker seized the money that in the case of our Gemara, still the halacha will be, says the Aruch HaShulchan, that he would have to return what he seized in these cases. This Gemara that uses the concept of Hamaitzi Mechaver Olav Haraya, the Paiskim tell us, is only in a case where there was a clear oinus. I'll explain what I mean. The Paiskim discussed the following situation. He says somebody hired a worker, and after he hired a specific worker, he started noticing that there were items missing from his home. And he has a strong suspicion that it was this worker who was the person who stole items. Still, since he cannot prove that that is indeed the case, the halach is Hamaitzi Mechaveroi Olav Haraya, he has to pay the worker. Yes, maybe he could let the worker go. And again, the different halachas that we have been learning about how a worker is let go and how he's not let go would certainly apply. But until he lets the worker go, or even if he lets the worker go, since he doesn't have conclusive proof that the worker stole something from him, he cannot take the law into his own hands and deduct what he feels the worker stole. Similarly, I saw that we're learning now, if there was an oinus, that it was beyond our control, then our Gemara says that the employee will be held responsible. I saw interesting shaila. There was an individual who was a principal of a yeshiva in the United States, a very successful principal. He was hired to be the principal of a yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael. So he uprooted his whole family and moved to Eretz Yisrael. And he took on that position, but he was not successful. The culture, the children in the United States are different than the children in Eretz Yisrael. And in Eretz Yisrael, he wasn't successful. And as the Paiskim point out, here we're referring to Jewish children whose chinuch is so important. And the school had no choice, the school in Eretz Yisrael had no choice but to let him go. And the question is, does the principal have a right to claim that he should be paid for that he moved to Israel, he uprooted his family, he doesn't have his job in the United States anymore available to him? So of course, if there was a contract written, so we have to follow, we'll follow the terms of the contract. But if there was no contract written, say the Paiskim, it would fall under the category, as we're learning, of an oinus, something that was beyond their control. But it's an onus that the employer, the school, and the employee, the principal, are both equally the same ointzim, and we will just explain that when they're both equally the same ointzim, it's the worker that will have to bear the brunt. Of course, the Paiskim say that the school in Eretz Yisrael should do whatever it can to pay severance and try to help this person find another job. Vamarova, Haiman da Ogur Aguri Levitita. If somebody hired workers for a job, Vishom Avidita Pagdil Yoima. When I hired the workers, I thought it'll take an entire day to do this job, so I hired them for an entire day's work. And then it turned out that the job was done by midday. Says Rava, E Islay Avidita de Nichamineya, if I have another job which is easier, Yavlahu, I can ask the workers to do that job. Inami, or if I have a job, the kavasa mifgadlu, which is equal to the first job, I can ask the workers to do it. The kashmina, but if the only job available that I have is a more difficult job, like mifgadlu, I cannot request the workers to take on that job, but still, for naislam schar mishalim, I have to pay them their full salary. So the Rishonim and the Paiskim put this Gemara into perspective. And they say, certainly in a situation where when I hire the workers, I did not specify that I'm hiring them for a specific job. I just said, I'm hiring them for the day. So, and they accepted that job. So any job that I give them, they have to do. We're referring here to a situation where I hire them for a specific task, and they finish that task in the middle of the day. Furthermore, says the Chazon Ish, if I told the worker that I expect you to do the job that I'm going to give you, as the Gemara says, that's equal or easier to the job that I hired, and the worker refuses to do that job, says the Chazon Ish, that it's Yodim al Tachtoina, and I don't have to pay them for the hours they didn't work. Then we have an interesting machlokes rishonim. What would be the din if I only have a harder job, and I tell them I'm willing to pay you more? I realize that the job I'm asking you to do is harder than the job I hired you for, but it's better that I should have you do this harder job and pay you extra in order that you should do this harder job rather than paying you to sit around idle doing nothing. Can I force them to do that or not? And that's actually a machloikis rishonim. The Mordechai and the Maram say that he can't force the workers to take on the harder job for extra pay. The Shach, the Ramach, and it's quoted by the Shach, says that I can't force the workers to take on a harder job. Another interesting machlokes rishonim that the Ramah quotes is, what would be the halacha if I hired an individual to be a Rebbe of students of a class, or a Rebbe of a specific Talmud, and that class or those Talmidim aren't available that day? Could I force the Rebbe to substitute another class? Some Rishonim say, as long as the other class, the Ramban's opinion, as long as the other class is not a more difficult class, the other student is not a more difficult student, I can require the Rebbe to take on the other class. The Mordechai disagrees. He says there are no two students and there are no two classes that are identical. Every class is easier in some ways and harder in some ways. Every student is easier in some ways and harder in some ways. And Al-Gamar just said that you can't force the worker to take on a harder job, and if I can't force him to take on another student. In general, the Rush says if somebody was hired to be a Rebbe of the Talmud, and then that Talmud takes ill, does the Rebbe have a right to claim that he should get paid? Is that considered an oinus or not? And the Rashba says we have to look at the disposition of the student. If this is a student that is known to get sick at times, so when the person accepted the job, he recognized that that may happen, and therefore if the student doesn't come, he can't require payment, again, unless there's a contract that says that he has to get paid no matter what. But if it's a student, and if it's a student that's typically healthy, and there's no reason to assume that he's going to miss, if he does miss, the Rebbe could claim that he should get paid. Ask the Gemara, why in the situation that the worker doesn't have work, is he entitled to get paid his full salary? Didn't we learn in the previous year that Lace of Lake Capoil bottle, that if he can't do his job, he gets paid, but he gets paid with a discount, how much a worker would be willing to accept not to have to do his job? Answers the Gemara, Ki kamarava bal chushe de mechuzah. Rava was referring to a situation to the people who were transporters that used to be the porters of mechuzah, the loy avet chalshi. If they don't work, they get weakened. They always have to work. And since they always have to work, we can't say that they deserve a discount for not working. And as I quoted earlier, the Rishonim say, a maggid shear is considered to be in the category of an individual of avdi chalshi, that he always wants, that if he doesn't work, he gets weakened, and he doesn't get, and there is no discount if he doesn't have to give a shear. And the Rishonim explain why. The Rishonim explain because since a maggid shear is more successful in his learning if he is able to constantly prepare for a shear and give a shear, so therefore he's not interested, and his entire learning is adversely affected if he's not given the opportunity to say the shear, and we have to pay him full salary if the shear doesn't come. The Shar Metzion Ba'alacha, I saw, says the same din would apply by a Paisik. Somebody who was hired to be a Dayan, and now there's one day where we tell him, we don't need your services. He also is in the category of Uchlashle de Mechuza, because you're a much more effective Dayan, explains the Shem Tzembalacha, when you're passing a Shaila, Halach Lamaisa, when you're just able to sit and learn, but it's not relevant, Halach Lamaisa. In fact, that's why he explains a tshuva that's quoted in Shaila's tshuvas that was answered to a real life situation has a lot more value in Halacha, because it responded to a real issue. And that's why a Paisik is considered like a Rebbe in the category of a Chlushi de Mechuzah. Amamar. Yesterday, when we learned that for Ayin Vavim and Beis, the Gemara quoted a very long Braisa, which basically focuses on the Machloikis of the Tanakhama and Reb Doisa. If Yad Poyel al Yoina, if the worker has the strongest position, or Yad Bal Bais al Yoina, or the owner is in the stronger position. Our Gemara now goes back to analyze the various cases of that braisa. Says the Gemara, Amamar, Shamalhem Mashasu. If workers were hired to do a job, and they were hired for 2 sloim, 8 dinrim a day, and they did half the job, Shamalhem Mashasu. We evaluate what they've already done. Ketzat, what does that mean? Says the Gemara, Hoy yofa shisha dunrim, if the price of labor has gone up and the job that they did is not worth, they did half the job, but it's not just worth 4 dinarim, it's worth 6 dinarim, noislahem seller. They get a seller. Even though it's going to cost the owner now 6 dinarim, a sell and a half, to finish the other half of the job. Because as I just said, Kusavi Rabbanan, the Rabbanan of the opinion, Yad Poyel El Yoina, the worker has the upper hand, and even though now that he walked out in the middle of the job, for me to have the job completed, it's not going to cost me a seller, it's going to cost me, which is 4 dinarim, it's going to cost me 6 dinarim, they're still entitled to their half salary of a seller. But Taisus does point out that even though the Rabbanan are of the opinion that Yad Poyel El Yoina, it doesn't give them, so it's just to mean, says Taisus, that we don't say Yad Balabayis El Yoina. What does Taisus mean? So I saw 2 pshatim. One pshat is that the workers say that we did half the job. And as the Gemara says, now the half job, it cost 60 dinarim. Still, the workers have no right to ask for 6 dinarim, since they agreed to work for 2 shloim, 8 dinarim, and they only did half the job, they're not entitled to get paid more than 4 dinarim. Or, says Tosfos, another explanation, what it means is as follows. Let's say the price of work dropped, and to finish the job, it will only cost 2 dinarim. The workers who did only half the job cannot say, since it will cost you, the employer, only 2 dinarim to finish the job, you should pay us 6 dinarim. Rather, they contracted for 8 dinarim and only did half the job, they will not get paid more than 4 dinarim, even though it will cost me, the owner, another 2 dinarim, not another 4 dinarim, to have the job completed. The Braisa continued, a yigmar melachtam, or they should finish the job, v'yitnu shnei shloim, and then they take their entire wage, the 2 shloim. Ask the Gemara, what's the Braisa teaching us? Pshit, it's obvious, they were hired for that salary, and if they'll do the job, that's the salary that they will receive. Answers the Gemara, loit tzricha, the yaikab v'edita. The Braisa is referring to a situation where the cost of labor has gone up, v'im repa'alim, and the workers, they left the job. And now the owner came and tried to convince them to finish the job. And they agreed. They could say, we agreed to finish the job. We agreed to finish the job. That you give us the new, current, more expensive rate. Kamash Malon teaches us the Braisa, the Amalahu, that even according to the opinion of the Tanakama, the employer could tell them, I meant that you should get better food and drink, that's what you'll get, but not that you'll get more wages. But, say the Paiskim, he has to indeed follow through on this and have given them better food and drink. Otherwise, he doesn't have a valid excuse. Furthermore, the Mefarshim point out that this claim that the owner says that I thought that I'll be able to the way I meant to compensate you was by giving you better food and drink is in a place which was typical in the time of the Gemara, that meals were served to the workers. So he could say the way I meant to pay you better was by giving you better meals. But in a time or in a place like nowadays where meals are typically not included in the salary of workers, the owner cannot say that the way I compensated you better was by giving you better meals. Furthermore, the Rishayim discussed the following situations. What would be the halacha where the workers walked off the job, the owner, the employer, comes and tries to convince them, as our Gemara just taught us, to come back to the job, and they say, we want a better salary, we want a better rate, and he doesn't respond. Say to Rishonim, the fact that the owner never clearly responded to their request for a better salary creates a situation where he does, and then they claim, we're sure you're going to give us a better salary, he doesn't have to give them a better salary. However, say to Rishonim, what would be the halacha, of course, if in order to convince them to come back, the employer told them, I'm going to give you a better salary, and they come back, and now when it comes to get paid, he says, no, I only said it in order to get you to complete the job, certainly that is unacceptable, and he has to pay them the better salary that he had agreed to. The Braisa said, seller, if the job that he contract them for was 2 shloim. Each job, each half is worth a seller, and they did a seller, nice shloim seller. He gives them one seller for half the work that they did. Ask them a pshita, that it's obvious that they should get that half for the work that they did. Answers the Gemara, like Tzricha, the Braisa is referring to a situation, the Zol Avidita Mikara, when they first started working, they didn't want to work for the regular, for the going rate of pay. So he made them an offer that was more attractive. He agreed to pay them an extra zuz. He agreed to pay them an extra zuz for the job. That means if we look at each half of the job, he agreed to pay them 4 zuzim for each half of the job, when really the going rate was 3 zuzim. L'soif yakav erata. But when the workers quit, the labor became more expensive. So now paying them, combat phase zuzim, now paying them 4 zuz represents the going rate. Madatema. So now we'd say, Amrei, tfei zuzim amatalon. You agree to pay us an extra zuz more than the going rate. And therefore, tfei zuz havalon. You have to pay us an extra zuz more than everybody else gets paid. So now we should get 5 zuz. Kamashmalon. So the teacher says to Tana that damaluhu, that the employee could tell them, ki amlechu tfei zuzim. When did I agree to pay you the extra zuz? Before I knew your quality. There's a few pshatim. This is pshat that we learned. Before I knew what kind of workers you are, hash to kimlechu. Now I know what kind of workers you are, and you are not workers that deserve an extra zuz, and therefore I'm not responsible to pay you that extra zuz. Another pshat is that the Sma says this pshat, that the employer could say that when I hired you, I was willing to pay an extra zuz because it's not that much money, 4 zuz. But now to have to pay 5 zuz, which represents a lot of money, I'm not prepared to do. Reb Doisa, we learned, said the Braisa, that Shamlehem Eshmash Asad Liasas. If they did a half a job, we evaluate what will it cost the employer to get the other half of the job done, and therefore hayu yafa shish dinarim. If the it will cost me 6 dinarim to get the job done, so then I don't give the workers 4 dinarim for the half day they did. I only give them a shekel, 2 dinarim for the job that they did, because Reb Deutz's opinion, as we said earlier, is kesaver yad poil al tachtayna. The Braisa continued in discussing Reb Deutz's opinion. A yigmur malachtem v'yitnu shnei slime. Or they should finish the job and take the 2 slime. Ask the Gemara Pshita. If they do the job as contracted, they should get the 2 slime that were agreed to. Answers the Gemara. The price is referring to a situation where the price of labor dropped. Vemer balabais. And therefore, we're referring to a situation that after half the job was done, he told the workers, I don't need you for the other half. Vazapayal and paisiu. And the workers tried to convince him and accepted upon themselves that he should keep them to finish the job. Maratema. Matzah amluhu, adapted the bat sulam agri. I agreed to keep you, but I agreed only to keep you at the lower rate of wages. Kamash malon, darmelei, they could successfully argue that the agreement wasn't that we will continue working at the lower rate of wages, but what we agreed to do, the data, the viditalon avidishapirta, that we'll do excellent work and we should get our original rate, even though it's higher than the going rate. Sela, if they did a half a job and they got paid, they get a seller, and that was worth a seller, nice lump seller. They have to give them that seller. Ask the Gemara Pshita, if they did half the job, they should get half the salary. Amar Funa Bered Rav Nosson, it's referring to a situation, Letzricha, the Ozli Inu Gabe Zuzumikara, where the workers originally discounted their wages by a zuz to the employer. Ulfsaif zalaverta, and then that became the going rate. Maratema, so maybe you would say that batsa zuz amrisluhu, the employer should be able to tell them, you always agreed to work at a discount, and therefore you should get not a wholesaler, but you should get only 3 zuzim, 3 dinarim if the price dropped. When do we agree to work at a discounted rate? Before we knew what kind of a boss you are. But now we are knowing, we knew what kind of a person you are, and we would never accept to work for you at a discount. Or another pshat that I saw the Rishonim say, that when we agreed, so we were willing to live with 4 zuzim instead of 5 zuzim. Because 4 zuzim is still a decent salary. But to drop, and therefore, even though maybe the going rate was 5 zuzim, we were willing to accept 4 zuzim. But in a situation where we want to, where you want to now drop us from 4 zuzim to 3 zuzim, 4 zuzim to 3 zuzim is not to us a livable wage, and it's not something that we can accept. Amrav, halacha k'Reb Doisa. The halacha follows Reb Doisa. Ask the Gemara, Umi Amrav Hochi, did Rav Paskin like Reb Doisa, that the workers are in the weaker position? Vamarav, Poyel Yochalachsba Fil Bechatzayim, a worker could always walk out of a job, even in the middle of the day. So we see that the workers are the one that have the stronger position. The Paiskim discuss why may a worker, the Rishonim explain why may a worker walk out in the middle of the day, because Kli B'nai Yisrael Avadim V'lai Avadim La'Avadim, and therefore if we wouldn't give the worker the ability to walk out of a job in the middle of the day, therefore he is becoming an avad to another person, and that's unacceptable. The Maram says that since this is the basis for the halacha that a worker could always walk out, so the pasuk says regarding an eved ivri the words kimishner schar socher. Kimishner schar socher, which means that the eved ivri is working mishnah, double of what a regular worker works. Therefore says the Maram, a worker should never be hired for a contract that's more than 3 years. That's the Maram's opinion. However, other Rishonim disagree with Maram, and they say the fact that a worker always, as our Gemara just taught us, has the right to walk out in the middle of the day, that already creates a situation that he's not an Eved, and therefore he can enter even to a long-term contract. Certainly, the Rishonim, I think we've discussed, the Paiskim also discuss the situation of what about if somebody is an Eved, not Tavadim, but he takes on a job as a Rav or a Chazan. So here we don't have the concept of Avadai Hai V'loi Avadim La'Avadim, and therefore certainly in that case, he could take on a longer contract. But there are still Paiskim that say that it's inappropriate that any Jew should enter into a very long term contract. The Paiskim also discuss that we're learning now that a worker could walk out in the middle of the day. However, says the Torah, quoting the Ri, that he can't walk out just for the sake of requesting a higher wage. He could only walk out because Kli Avadai V'lai Avadim La'Avadim, he doesn't want to work anymore. But if he agreed to work and now he's just walking out because he wants to get a better salary, that is not acceptable reason to walk out of a job. Similarly, the Chachma Shloima says that he can't walk out because he wants to take another job, because he's not walking out because he doesn't want to be an Eved. He is accepting upon himself another job, and he may not walk out. The Chavisiyar disagrees, and he says that a worker has a right to walk out from the job under all circumstances, even if he's walking out because he wants to get a better salary, or he's working out because he has another job. The halacha is a Jew is not an Eved, a worker could always walk out in the middle of the job, unless, as we learned before, it's a Dover Ovid. So now we have a question. Here we have Rav saying that he paskins like Reb Doisa. And here we say that he paskins like that a worker could work out the Yat Poyel El Yoyna. V'chitema, Shana Le Reb Doisa. Reb Doisa will make a difference between Schiris, with somebody who works on a Tzchiris Lekablonis, where he works by the job, and the pshat is as follows, explained Rishonim. Because somebody who works as a socher, so there, as we just explained, the whole issue is Kli B'nai Yisrael Avadim V'loi Avadim La'Avadim, so therefore he could walk out. A Kablonis, who is anyway only working by the job, So there's no, he's not an Eved, and therefore their Rav, Arab Dais, will say, Yad Poil Al Tachtoina. Ask the Gemara, Mishonalei, is there such a distinction between a Socher and a Kablan? Vatanya, Soich as a Poil, somebody hires a worker. In the middle of the day he hears that a relative died and therefore he has to leave the job, or he gets sick, and the Rama says, the Shulchan Aruch Paskins, that it's not only if he gets sick, the same din will apply if a close family member gets sick, and I see the Paisk, and I saw the Paskim say, or he needs to find a shidduch. So the halach is, if Sachahu, if he was a worker hired by the day, nice loischaroi, he gets his salary for the half a day that he worked. He's not penalized for walking off the job. In kablanhu, but if he's a kablan, nice kablod nasoi, he gets his fee for whatever part of the job he did. Ask the Chassam Sofer. As we've always explained, the definition of a kablan is that he's getting paid by the job. So if he's getting paid by the job, what does it mean that he walked out in the middle of the job? So he walked off because he got sick or whatever reason, and he'll get better and he'll come back to the job. Says the Chassam Sofer, there are certain kablonis jobs that are also time sensitive. Let's say somebody was hired to make a suit for someone, that the person needs the suit for his wedding, he needs the suit for the yontif. So he needs that suit before yontif or before the wedding, so they're time sensitive. Mani. Now, try the Gemara to analyze this price. Who is the Tan of this price? Eleim Rabbanan. If we'll suggest it's following the opinion of Rabbanan, my year is Shom Shemes Lemes. Why does it have to refer to a situation that a relative died, or Shech Sechama, or that he got sick, that a situation of honest? Kiloi honest nami, even if there was no honest, aren't the Rabbanan of the opinion, Hom Rabbanan, Yad Pail El Yoina, and he could always walk out? Elav. Who must be the Tan of this Braisa? Reb Daisihi. Ushmamina, that according to Reb Daisa, there is no difference between Tzchiris LeKablonis. So we wanted to suggest the Rav and Reb Daisa could be consistent, because Reb Daisa is only speaking about a Socher, and Rav will agree by a Socher, and there's a difference between a Socher and a Kablan. This Braisa, which reflects the opinion Reb Daisa, says there is no difference between a Socher and a Kablan. Amr Rav Nachman Yitzchak. Rav Nachman Yitzchak says that this price is referring to a Dover Ovid. And by Dover Ovid, the Rabbanon agree that the worker can't walk out. Here, and it will be different at call, that because of these circumstances, even though it's a Dover Ovid, the price is teaching us the worker could withdraw. Tanan. We learned in our Mishnah, Kolam Shana, Yod Al Tachtani, whoever deviates is in the weaker position. V'kol HaChayzba, whoever reneges, Yod HaTachtoina is in the weaker position. So says the Gemara, Bishlam, the words of Kol Mishana Yod HaTachtoina, is come to teach us the Sarm Sulankanik Rabbi Yehuda, that we follow the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. As we said, there's a machlokes between Ramei and Rabbi Yehuda, where somebody gave a worker to dye wool and he dyed it the wrong color. According to Ramei, nice like the mate Samroi, he has to pay the value of the wool. According to Rabbi Yehuda, we look at what is less, the expenses or the upgrade in the value of the wool. El kol ha-chayzeba. That's what Kol Mishana came to teach us. El kol ha-chayzeba, yod ha-tachton el-lav l'suy mai, l'suy payo. To teach us that even the worker who's hired by the day, according to Rabbi Daisa, is in the weaker position. So we see that according to Rabbi Daisa, in all circumstances, Yad Poil Al Tachtoina. So, and Rab doesn't agree with that. So how could Rab Paskin like Reb Daisa? Says the Gemara, the way to understand it is as follows. Reb Daisa Tati Kama. Reb Daisa was referring both to Socher and to a Kablan. And he holds Yad Poil Al Tachtoina. V'Rav Savaloi Kavasei Bechada. He agrees with Reb Daisa by a Kablan. But he doesn't agree with Reb Daisa, he disagrees with Reb Daisa by a Socher, where Reb Daisa will say Yad Poil Al Tachtoina, and Rav will hold that if he's a Socher, where we have the concept, as we said earlier, of Keli B'nai Yisrael Avodim, Avodahai V'loi Avodim L'Avodim, that he gets paid, that he gets Yad, that he will be Yad Poil Al Yoin. Ibai Saimer, another way of explaining, is that when the Mishnah uses the words Kol HaChayzeboi Yod HaTachtoinai, it's coming to teach us a different din. L'chir Tanya, Kol HaChayzeboi Ketzad. If somebody sold a field to somebody else for 1,000 zuz, and the buyer gave 200 zuz, says the Braisa, Bizman Shamoicher Chayzaboy, if it's the seller that backs out of the deal, Yad Lekech Al Yoyna, then the customer has the upper hand. And Ratz Aymaloy, and therefore he could either say, Tainli my eyesight, give me back my money, I Tainli Kaka Kenegim my eyesight, or give me property equal in value to the amount of money that I gave you. Mechem Magbiyoy, continues the Bryson, the Gemara will spend time explaining the Bryson, Mechem Magbiyoy, Mina Idjis, from his best property. But if it's the customer that backed out, there Yad Moichel Yona. Rata Amala Helich Moscha. Either he could say, give back, here's your money, or Ratsa, or if the seller wants, he could say, Helich Kaka Keneg Moscha, I'm going to give you land equal in value to your money, and Mehech Magbioi, and what kind of property does the seller have to give him? I mean, as a Burius, he could give him inferior property. The Pais can point out that this is all in a situation where we don't write a shtar. However, in a place where a shtar is written, as soon as the shtar is written, the halacha is that the deal is a final deal and nobody can back out. Rav Shimon Gamliel teaches us, we come up with a way that they shouldn't be able to back out. We tell the seller that he should write a document. I sold the property for this much money, and he gave me 200 zuz out of the 1,000. The other 800 are now only a loan. Kana, in such a case, the property becomes the full-fledged property of the purchaser, and therefore the seller or the buyer can never back out of this deal, and the money that he owes him, hello! In fact, I saw that there's a machloikis hapaiskim. Al Gemara speaks about a case where there was a deposit given. Some paiskim say that even if there was no deposit given, but if the shtar was written in a way that that the property became the customer's, and now all we have left is that the money that's owed, even if it's the entire purchase price is a chayiv, so it's a chayiv, but the property becomes the customer's. Amamar, mech magbiot, from where does the seller have to pay the purchaser if the seller backs out? Mina idjis. Says the Gemara, kasalka daitach, what did the price mean? Midjis and the chosef, that the seller has to give him his best property. Ask the Gemara, v'lo yei bal choyf, shouldn't this seller be no worse than a bal choyf? And we know that the halach is, bal choyf dina bebeninus, that if a bal choyf is, if somebody collects money from his bal choyf, collects property from his bal choyf, he only has a right to ask to get from the beninus. And certainly here, explains Tosfos, why is the halacha by Bal Choy Beninus? So Tosfos explains, because really by right, the din is that a Bal Choy should be Bezeburius. Just because we have a concept, Kadesh Loi Tenel Delos Bifnei Lovin, so we let him collect from Beninus. Here, we don't have that concept. So by right, he should take from, only be right, able to get Zeburius. But the Gemara's question, explains Tosfos, is, Beninus should be more than adequate, not Igis. Void ha'ar the yav zuzi. Why cannot the seller give him the land that he bought? Why does he have to go give him his best property that he owns? Answers the Gemara. That's exactly what it meant. Amram Nachman, it's going to be idishba. If the seller backs out and he's giving him property from the property that was sold equal to the amount that he got, he gives him from the best of that piece of property. Or if it's the buyer that backs out, he gives him Mizuburi Shabbat, then the seller tells him, I'm not giving, if he wants, he tells him, I'm not going to give you back money. I'm going to give you property equal to the amount that you gave me as a deposit. From what area? From the weakest area. Rav Acha Breda, Rav Ikama, I feel him, it just, the Nechosef. We can explain the Braisa that the seller, if he backs out, has to give him property from his best property. Why? Stam man dezov alfa ba'al zuzi. We're referring to a situation where somebody bought property for 1,000 zuz. If somebody bought property for 1,000 zuz, what he must have done, it was a fortune of money. What he must have done is oizli mazlum mezmin chasif. He must have sold off properties to be able to gather together 1,000 zuz. And now, after he went and sold off all of his properties, so he could get this money to make this deal, the seller backs out. So this is a situation of a nizik, where the buyer was damaged. But tanan, hanizok nishamalam be'itjes. Rishim Gamaliel, as we learned, belamdin so shalayachsu, how do we avoid that a buyer or a seller could back out? Kate said, kaisav la'ani plenim ben plenim. Says the Gemara, tam the kaisav la'hochitz, only because they stipulated in the shtar this deal. Hol like kaisav la'hochitz, if it wouldn't have been written this way, like kani. It would not be a way for that the entire property becomes the buyer's. But Tanya, nois in the Raven Lechaveroi, if somebody gives a deposit to the seller, Vamalai, imani chayzabi, if I back out, you could keep the deposit. Vala Aimer, and the seller says, imani chayzabi, if I will back out, echbal charvuncha, I'll double to you your deposit. The skaimat noim, they have to follow these stipulations. Divrei Rabbi Yosi. Why? Because Rabbi Yosi l'tamei, damas machtekanya. Even though this was a situation that they never expected would come to fruition, Rabbi Yosi, as we've learned so many times, holds a smachtekanya. Rabbi Yudaima, da'ish yikna k'negra avunai. The buyer only will get a portion of the property equal in value to his down payment. Amar Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, in qualifying what Rabbi Yehuda said, "Bizman medvar mamurim, bizman shamalay yevoni yikain, that my deposit should buy me some property. Ava machloy sod be'alav zuz, if somebody sold a property for $1,000, naslaman chemesh zuz, and he gave a deposit of $500, kana the buyer gets the entire field or machloy sashar field kamishonim." In this brayser, Rabbi Shimon is teaching us that the partial payment finalizes the deal automatically, without any stipulation, without this being spoken out or written out, like Kasha. When do we say that the deal is not considered finalized and the rest doesn't come alone? Is where the seller needs the money. That's why he's selling the property, and it's obvious that he needs the money. So there, the deposit doesn't finalize the sale. But in a case where the seller isn't that desperate for the money, the deposit on its own, without any further stipulation, finalizes the deal. Damarov, high man deserving me del chavri. If somebody sells something else to somebody else, the ka'al v'nofika zuzei, and the seller is desperate for the money, loikani, it doesn't become the buyer's until he pays up. Loikai v'nofika zuzei, but we don't see that the seller is that desperate for money. Kani, then it becomes the buyer's as soon as he gives the deposit. Vamarova, high man da oizri mei zuzel chavri. If somebody loaned $100 to somebody else, or pare zuzel zuzel, and the borrower repays him one zuzel at a time, peron hava, it's considered a valid repayment. El de isle trumas gabei, he's considered that he has a complaint. Domele, by the lender could say, by paying me back in this way, you caused me a loss. Because if you paid me back all the money one time, I would take the money and put it in the bank or whatever. By paying me a dollar at a time, the money gets lost. Say to Rishonim, the borrower has a right to pay back the lender in such a fashion only if it's paying back before the due date. Once the due date comes, he doesn't have a right to pay him back in such a fashion. Furthermore, I saw from the Chavetz Chaim and the Avos Chesed, where he discusses that there's certainly a mitzvah to lend money to someone else, a mitzvah that a person should fulfill, but if the borrower when he lends the borrows the money, says, I will only be able to pay back $1 at a time. As our Gemara says, that's considered a difficult situation, and it's valid reason for the lender to refuse to lend the money.